I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Chang.
And we're too damn young to be this damn confused.
I thought MCM was a new party drug.
I thought taking an L was a sex position.
Isn't Salt Bay a town on Long Island?
We don't know,
but we do care.
So we're talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
We are doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you.
Because let's face it,
you want to be less old too.
How to be less old!
Hello, Deanna.
Hi, doll.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
God, this whimsical dress is doing it for me.
Oh my gosh, thank you.
Did you dress up for me?
I did.
Oh my God.
I did. You know.
No, seriously. I feel like after this, you are like jaunting off to like some high tea at a fancy hotel.
And that, you know, this summer, I'm not a shorts girl.
Okay.
So I'm a dress girl in the summer. And yeah, this is a new 2017 summer dress.
It's beautiful.
I feel great in it.
Great.
It's easy. That's like the fun thing about a dress is it's just one garment.
That's right. And a wrap dress is real nice because, you know, it frames
cinches,
the boobs, yeah, and it cinches the waist.
And we're all set to
good.
Go. Thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah,
I feel great on it. Great on it?
Yep.
We have a show today because we're a podcast, How to Be Less Old.
Oh, it's so fun to be here.
Hey, guys, I know there's a bunch of new listeners now that we've rebranded ourselves.
Hello, welcome.
Hey, guys. And you know, Emily, they're not just from the United States of America. We are worldwide.
Oh, is that what happens
yes.
when you're on the World Wide Web?
That's right. The
wow.
world. Listen, so shout out to Canada, Yugoslavia.
What up?
Russia.
Oh, hey.
I mean, I don't know if we actually have listeners there, but we do have interviews. I mean, I could pull up the list. I'm just going to say that we have people out there from other countries, and for that, we are hashtag blessed.
Thank you so
Thank
much,
you, so
you guys.
Much.
And today, we have a young gal coming in named Ali Vingiano.
Oh, thank you. You did a beautiful job.
I'm hoping. And
yeah.
she's she really is excited about the new Ken dolls.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to dive into
I'm
that.
I'm so excited. There is, if you haven't heard, there is a brand new line of 10, not 1, 2, 3, 4,
nope.
5, 6, but 10 Ken dolls that are different races and have different hairstyles,
fashion,
body shapes. There's
yeah.
like a dad bod one. So that's all very exciting. And Allie's a really amazing content creator. She does work for BuzzFeed, and she does a lot of scripted video content, and she tackles some really incredible, worthy topics. She's done like videos on date rape and body image and abortion, all really from a young person's point of view, and I think extremely well done and effective. So I'm excited just to talk to her.
Yeah.
She's feminist. And
she seems bold, and I like it.
I like it, too. She gives me somewhat of like a Lena Dunham vibe in terms of the way she creates her content.
Uh-huh.
And something a little bit about her. And you know, it's just it's a great take.
Yeah.
And I think she's really, really special.
Me too.
Did you play with Barbies, by the way?
You know, it was one of those things that my mom was anti.
Ah.
But when I got my first one, I was like, I will cut you if you try to take this from
okay.
me.
Okay. So, like, know? Somebody gave it to you and she was stuck.
Right. So, I had maybe like three
okay.
Barbies
Solid.
In my life, which, you know, it was sad
yeah.
because I think had I naturally been allowed to explore my creativity as I wanted, I might have had a gazillion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you feel, like, do you remember what you felt about the way Barbie looked?
I didn't. What I remember, I, like, cut their hair off
yeah.
and, like, you know.
Rookie move. We've all been there.
But they were all having sex, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, they were all banging their plastic parts together.
Yes.
For sure.
Which is bizarre. I don't
know.
As, like, a 4, 5, 6-year-old weird, why?
It just felt right to put the, like, bald non-genitalia parts and mash them together.
Yeah. How many did you have?
I had a bunch. I mean, I have two younger sisters. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, there were Barbies to
mm-hmm.
be had.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember feeling like this was some sort of aesthetic, you know, this sort of like high, tough-tittied,
really?
Thin-waisted.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I was like, okay, this is what you want to look like. You know, I mean, I did have that thought.
Okay.
So I do think it's exciting to And I, you know, being a white little girl, it's like that could be what I turn into. Like that's an option, you know. So I think to have like a bunch of different races and colored skin and vibes and body shapes. It's like, yeah, you know, let's have some variety. Let everyone, it doesn't have to be this cookie cutter idea of perfection that sure. can be damaging, I think, on some level that you know, we may not be able to access right. at that young of an age.
It's just like, let's take the phrase, I'm a Barbie girl in a Barbie world, and make it mean something else.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. Well, we'll bring her in here. I love that. Did you have Skipper, by the way? Is Skipper with us? I do want to ask her that.
I know. I mean, I personally didn't have one. I remember Skipper.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't. I think I felt more aligned with Skipper.
I did,
you know,
too.
She had flat feet.
She didn't have the
crazy
the Chinese bandage.
Yeah.
Like,
right?
Yeah.
She
well, that
did,
is, by the way, my foot naturally. I have a tremendous arch.
God bless you.
But I hate. I mean, it's not great. I wear orthotics. So, I mean, it's not exactly what you want.
Actually, so does my husband for the same reason. You guys need to talk that one out.
Look, and then shits ain't cheap. I'll tell you that much
they're
right
very
now.
Expensive.
A lot of times insurance doesn't cover it.
But I bet you can wear high heels. I cannot.
No, I can't.
Oh, you can't.
I can't wear high heels for love
either.
Or money.
No, me either.
So, and fine. Who needs them?
Oh, they're for the birds.
Yeah. Let's bring Allie in and get to some more important topics.
How to be less old.
We are here with Allie.
Hi, Allie.
Hello.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, you've brought another beautiful summer dress in here. We were talking about Deanna's lovely wrap dress.
Yeah, it is gorgeous.
Good. Thank you, as is yours. It feels good to be in a dress during the summer.
Mm-hmm. It does.
I'm just wearing garbage over here.
That's the wrong outfit for this temperature.
We just got, Joe Coy sent us each a sweatshirt that we just opened up. And
I'm very excited about
it. And we do now expect all of our guests, Allie, to send us hoodies.
Okay. Well, yeah. I will design one. I'll go home and start designing one.
Perfect. Thank you.
I feel like it's funny having watched somebody's videos when you haven't met them yet, and now I feel I know you.
Totally. That's such a thing about the internet, too. Like, yeah. I met a girl I follow on Twitter, and, like, as soon as I saw her, I just, like, hugged her. I was like, we're old friends.
Yeah.
But no, we just follow each other on Twitter.
Know, but you do.
And that's happened, right? But when, like, I follow someone and they don't know who I am.
Right.
And that's so
different.
You're like, oh, hey. And you're like,
oh my God.
I'm super embarrassed now because this is in real life.
I did that just the other day to someone at the Grove. I was like, hey, thinking it was someone I knew from something.
Right.
And it was a contestant on Top Chef.
A contestant?
Contestant. And then I was like, the look in her eye, I knew that I'm not the first person to approach her in that way, thinking that we're dear friends.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Ugh, I know. It's a weird world we're now living in.
It is.
You know? I mean, you had it when you moved to LA as a younger person, I'm assuming, Deanna, because I had it where you see people that you maybe knew from like Top Chef or The Real World or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, I feel like it happens 10 times more now because you're just following these yayas every day.
Everyone's so accessible
every day.
Now.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, but when I was growing up, I would like write letters to celebrities that I was in love with.
Who would you
just tweet
to?
At someone? Okay, this is so embarrassing.
What's up?
My biggest celebrity crush was Elijah Wood, who was a hobbit. Like, I saw him as a hobbit, and
yes.
I was like, yes, that's who I'm attracted to.
I'm into that.
He was
I'm
in my
that.
Bar method class the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, all right,
that's
Elijah
crazy because you never
Getting
see
busy.
Dudes in bar method.
I know. Well, and he was
I
there
just
with a
made
girl.
My boyfriend do it.
Yeah, I think he went there with his girlfriend.
Wow. Allison Brie was in my Pilates class.
Ooh.
And then the whole class became me trying not to look at her.
Right,
And
yeah.
just like, no, I don't know who that is. I'm down. I'm just doing my
I'm
Pilates.
Just a regular person during Pilates.
I do that too with the celebs in the workout classes. But you kind of have to. Yeah. What are you going to do? Just like, watch me lift this weight, Allison.
I had a really tough moment the other day. I'm doing flywheel, which has been a game changer for me. But the guy from, you guys might know his name. He's from Grey's Anatomy. He's like white guy. Justin.
Noah Wiley?
Justin something.
I can't help.
Think his name. He was like paired up with Katherine Heigl in the beginning of the show.
Oh, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I think his name is Justin on the show and in real life.
Okay.
But he's there. He's super cute. Got tattoos going on. And you have to like get into that class on time. It gets started right on time. So I had to go to the bathroom really bad. this chick gets out. She tow up that bathroom, okay? Oh, but I couldn't. I had to go because there were people in the other ones. So, but I knew. I said, I'm going to come out and somebody is going to
be on your bike.
No, somebody is going to come in and think
and
I
think
did
that
this.
You did that.
So
that
I peed
is a fear I have.
So quickly oh, to show got this it. Can't be me because the pee time I took. And who he,
no.
I walk out the door. Justin does a pivot because he's trying, and he goes, oh, this one's open. He comes into him. As he walks into the bathroom, I go, it wasn't me. Literally.
Amazing.
And I just kept moving because I was like, fuck me that this guy is the one who caught that. And I'm sure I will never stop judging that woman for blowing it up so hard, and he will never stop judging
and
me.
And maybe it wasn't her either.
It was her.
Oh, okay.
It was her.
I think that it wasn't me might have really changed his mind, you
Do
know?
You?
Yeah. Because it's like, oh, that's a funny person.
Okay.
You know?
A friend of mine had that exact moment, but with Oprah.
Oh,
walking into
no.
the bathroom. And Oprah was like, oh, girl. Like, made a
Feedback.
Comment about the smell. And she was like, it wasn't me.
Was it her?
It wasn't her.
Oh, that's, you can't move forward from that moment,
no.
you know?
If you had one moment with Oprah in your whole life and that's it, how funny.
That's insane.
Also, because I feel like, and when you said Oprah, I was like, oh, that's okay. She'd understand. She's so, like, and no, she just judged it immediately.
Which I appreciate.
Me too. Good
she
for
kept
you,
it
Oprah.
Real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Ellie.
It's a poop.
We're going to go to poop to some hard-hitting topics that you tackle on the interweb.
Great.
Do you work for BuzzFeed?
Yes.
Okay. And you are a content creator?
Yes.
For what's your job title?
I'm a video producer for them. So, basically, I'm responsible for coming up with video ideas. We basically own an idea from, like, the ideation of it to, like, the completion of it. So, I edit them. I direct them, I produce them, and I write
them.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
You're really good.
Thank you.
Really, really good actress. The editing, like, everything is so well done. I mean, they're beautiful, beautifully shot videos.
They are. And, like, I work a lot with someone named Stephen Cantor, who shoots really well, and then sometimes some other shooters as well. And, yeah, I thank you. I appreciate that.
It's really
That's
good.
Awesome.
And something I was struck by, I went to YouTube and, like, saw the comments. I was curious because you tackle date rape and abortion and body image, really heavy kind of topics,
mm-hmm.
and in a very thought-provoking and sensitive, real way. You don't know how – people are so crazy in their comments. You don't know what you're going to get. But I was very heartwarmed by the amount of support your content gets.
It's crazy. I am too. I was shocked, especially when I made When I Saw Him Again, which was like short film about rape, and the emails and messages and the way people contacted me saying, like, I've never seen my story depicted mm-hmm. on screen, and this changed my life, and this made me feel like I wasn't alone. It was overwhelming. Like, it almost feels narcissistic to say, but, like, it's amazing. Like,
oh my God,
I couldn't believe how amazing it was, and it made me feel so, like, validated in the work I was doing, because it's hard to make something like that and, like, put yourself out there, and then the response just makes it all worth it, of like, oh, people really related to this, and, like, it helped them in a way. And just last weekend I was at the LA Food Festival, and a woman came up to me, and she was like, I just watched this video, and it, like, helped me so much.
Aww.
And I just, like, and she was like, I'm sure you get it all the time, and I hugged her, and I was like, I don't think I've ever gotten this in person from a stranger.
Yeah.
And, like, it just, it was amazing.
That's
and
really awesome.
It makes any negative comments, like, of course there'll be comments on videos like that where it's like, oh, it's like, she should have known not to, like, I don't know, hang out
go
with that dude, or go into the bathroom with
him.
Or, like, whatever victim blaming it might be. And, like, it just makes all of those not important to me.
Well, since we're about to dive in, probably, to talk about that video, maybe we'll just do a quick synopsis mm-hmm. of it, where, you know, it's a girl sitting in a coffee shop. The guy who she had an encounter with in college walks in, and it triggers this whole thing where she needs to confront him. And basically she the story comes out that in college she went into the bathroom at a party with him and he raped her. There was a lot that even as someone who, like, you know, I, that's not my story, but that scene in the elevator, that was so poignant.
It really was.
You know, a woman, you know, you get into the elevator and a guy comes in and standing just a little too close, just a little like awkwardly over the shoulder. And just, you know, that fear that you feel being trapped in a close space with a guy who you don't know, like that, everything about what you created in this film really resonated.
Yeah, I totally agree. And that is an interesting thing that it's kind of, you know, I don't know, lately I feel like over the last year we've all been made more aware of, like, you know, through the Black Lives Matter movement, just the walking the walk of someone of color in the world is different than someone who is white. Like, that's, and I feel like I needed to see certain things to fully, I mean, not fully, but to really internalize,
right,
what that looks like and what that is, you know, and really get aware of that. And I think with this video, I think men just can't, you know, without something like that, that's specific, you know, you could say, like, yeah, it's scary to walk down the street sometimes, you know?
Right.
And men can only understand that to an extent because it's not their experience. Just like it's ignorance because it is, because you don't know what
that
means.
You don't live in that body.
You don't live in that body. Yeah. As one of our guests said, that's not the lens that you're looking through. So you have to be aware of what the lenses are because, you know, it is going to color how you see the world. And that was one of the things that, because it wasn't a story about this, you know, rape that I feel like is how rape is depicted a lot, which is so over the top and a stranger or,
you know. Very violent.
Violent, yeah. Exactly.
I feel like that's so true. Rape is often used as a plot device or mm-hmm. something to create mm-hmm. sympathy for a character, a female character who's sort of cold, like in, what's that, in House of Cards they do that, and like a bunch of other shows it's like, oh, she was raped in the past, so like now
that's
we can
why
like
she's
her
a bitch.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So it was really important to me to show something that was just not even about the act, like it takes place in the future or, you know, later on, because it's like I just want to show how it affected her, the way like she lives her life now. And that elevator scene is my favorite scene too, because I think no matter what your story is, even if you've never experienced sexual assault yourself, I think you can still relate to that moment of feeling afraid, trapped in a space with men who don't give you a reason to be afraid of them necessarily, but there's still that sense of like your body, you're so aware of your body, you're so aware of the space you're in, and you can feel so threatened by somebody and so vulnerable. You can be made to feel so vulnerable by a man just because he's existing in that space.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of times I will step out of an elevator if it's just me and a guy.
Totally.
If he gets in and it's only two of us, I'll get out. And I haven't been sexually assaulted.
Right. Exactly.
You know, just because I don't want to be, I mean, it has to be, I'm not saying every time, but I have done that.
I will say that every time I'm alone in an elevator with a man, I'm thinking about it. Yeah. I'm never not aware of it.
And I appreciate those mirrors that some of the elevators have so that you can watch them.
Yeah.
So that you know, it's like I utilize those for sure.
Yeah, no, it's really good. You're doing amazing, amazing work. And one thing, I have a couple little comments just real quick that I grabbed.
Please.
One girl was like, I hate that I relate to this and got so much support from everybody. You know, someone else said, this is probably the best thing BuzzFeed has ever put out. Oh. Another gal said, I didn't realize, and this comment came up a bunch, that this was 22 minutes until I saw someone who commented that it was 22 minutes. And that really struck me, having had a lot of people from Vine and
These short form videos, you know, it's like the who's got time for a 22 minute video?
And the fact that it struck young people as odd that it was that long and it didn't weigh on their souls.
Yes.
You know,
the
that
fact
length.
That it got like over 5 million views and it's 22 minutes is incredible to me. And it makes me feel like, oh, we can create long form narrative content that's really good and it can go viral and people can watch it. And like, mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And
But it's not.
It's not crazy because it happens already. Like, right? It happens on John Oliver's show. It happens right. certain HBO episodes, like, that millions of people watch. But we haven't seen it at BuzzFeed mm-hmm. or, like, on other internet platforms. So I don't think it is crazy. I mean, even Too Many Cooks was, like, 15 minutes, right? I think it's just showing. I think for me, it was proving that drama can work in that capacity. And it was sort of like a thing of like, hey, don't give up. Keep going. Yeah, you can totally. Make short films. Totally. You don't have to make 2-minute sketch videos.
And where do you want to go? I mean, you're a huge talent. Like, what do you want? What is your goal at this moment?
My goal at this moment is to continue doing work like this. I want to move into TV and, like, sell shows, write pilots. I'm writing a feature right now that I would like to finish by the end of this year so I can sort of figure out how to make it next year. And I'm telling this, and, like, now I have to hold myself accountable. Yeah. I'm like, I haven't said this out loud yet.
We've heard you. And we'll loop it. We'll loop that time.
Thank you. Every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So I do definitely want to, like, push into TV and film and long-form content. And I don't think the internet – people are always like, when are you going to move away from the internet? And I'm like, oh, I don't think about it like that. I'm not like, once I do TV, I can't make internet right. videos. Like, I think I'll always want to make internet videos because it's amazing to make something like this and to put it out there and then get immediate feedback.
Oh, right? Yeah.
It makes you think about the next work you want to do. And on a TV show, you might have to wait a year and a half before it's produced. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll always want to make videos for YouTube and for Vimeo and those platforms.
Yeah.
I just think that I'll also want to make other work.
Cool. Are there any topics that you want to tackle that are in the horizon?
I think the sexual assault video isn't the end of that.
Yeah.
Like, I definitely think that there's another thing I can do even with that story or with another story that I'd like to even delve into more. Something that I really did like about that video was that it was important to me to sort of show the man's point of view and how he really didn't think he committed an assault.
Right.
And like you were saying, men need an avenue to see women's experiences. Mm-hmm. And with that video, so many men did reach out to me being like, wow, this is the first time I've realized what women go through with this.
Right.
And like the question to me with that video is like, can men who've committed assault just move through the world not even realizing what they've done? And they just go on to like work on Wall Street jobs and get married and their wives never know that they raped someone in college. And like, that was so scary to me. And I think I will make something else sort of with that.
Yeah.
Well, and poignant too, that you know, when in the film you would addressed his fiance.
Right.
And she was kind of like, oh, something similar happened to me with him.
Yes.
So it,
I know, you know, I really like that.
Yeah. It seemed like, okay, well, you know, whatever moment he had, if it was just like feeling like he had the right or he was entitled to like this thing, it was like he was also doing it with his girlfriend.
Right.
He obviously didn't know that it was wrong.
Right. I think that's the thing.
And he said, and I think what she said, I think, was that like he wasn't hearing me.
Right.
Or he write something along those lines. And that's such a thing that just really does give you chills that, like, it's such a specific, it's such a fine line.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a thing that women will brush aside a million times because it hasn't been the experience for the other 100 times they've slept together.
Yes.
So it does – how could that be – an assault.
Right. Exactly. You know? It's like she already consents all the time. And it's, and I think for women, it also, you don't really validate your own experiences that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like if it's someone you love, you can sort of toss it aside. It's like, oh, well, it's fine. It was just, you know, instead
right.
of being like, no, this was wrong and I have boundaries and they were crossed. And,
yeah.
Yeah. So that's a whole other thing I would
right.
definitely like to go into. And then I'm also working on a series that's about like, couples that like their relationship sort of showing love in public and the idea of like that being sort of like a privilege in today's world of
mm-hmm.
like certain couples have a harder time showing their love in public
because it might threaten
them, their own bodies. Like gay couples, like couples
right.
of different religions or like interracial
yeah.
couples. And I think that that's something I would definitely want to explore.
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what just made me think of this, but I want you to make this film too. I remember when I was in college, my roommate was from India and I ended up going and spending the summer with her over there.
Oh, wow.
And one thing that just struck me immediately was that men hold each other's hands over there.
Yes.
Like just friends. Like they're, and it's not sexual. It's just like two guys, you know, on the train will just hold each other's hands.
Wow. I did not know that.
And like they're very affectionate with one another. And I don't think, I didn't see it happening with like women friends either on the train. It's like very specific men friendly, you know, shows signs of affection. So I think that would just be an interesting kind of video.
And how,
for how people would react to that here.
And, like, masculinity here.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What is there homophobia? Like, what's the deal in India with gay? I don't know
It's definitely a no-no.
Like, but that's such an interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like because it's so off-limits, you can do it. Where it's here, men might not want to hold hands because they're like, oh, I don't want anyone to think I'm gay, man, or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's like—
That's my man impression.
Not even on my radar to friend men. Holding hands.
Right.
Friend men. That's the title.
Friend men.
Friend men. Interesting.
Yeah.
I
am curious if a couple quick questions for you, but they're probably not quick because they're heavier than that. Okay. And we will get to Ken dolls.
Rapid fire.
We will get to Ken dolls, no doubt. But you're a young feminist.
Yes.
What does that mean? Like, is there... What does that mean to you? Is there a way you can explain how you see yourself as a feminist? Or if that's too broad of a question, I can ask a different one.
I think I don't know, because I don't really think of myself like that. I think of myself as a young feminist in the sense of, like, I want to create works that show honest depictions of women, that show the real ways women talk and interact with the world and the things that women experience and what it's like to live in a female body. And I have a limited perspective of that as a white woman, obviously, but that's basically what I strive for in all of my work.
Yeah.
And moving forward, I definitely, those are the things I think about. Like, how can I show women who are funny and insecure and strong and complicated and, like, write from those women's perspectives? And so I think a lot about that when I create my work, and I think more about that than, like, the audience that is going to be received by. Mm-hmm. I definitely also do want to, like, work with women who have had other experiences and who experience the world in different ways than I do to, like, create broader experiences of, like, what it's like to be a woman.
Are there any social justice warriors? We've heard that term a bunch, that you look up to or you're proud of or you're seeing doing stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of women at BuzzFeed, even, like, Quinta Brunson's great. You guys had on Jasmine, who's amazing.
Jasmine.
Yeah. and then Lauren Duca is fantastic, who's, like, the journalist who has been on Tucker Carlson a lot and wrote Donald Trump is Gaslighting America.
Okay.
She's, like, having a moment right now.
Okay.
What's it? Was she the Teen Vogue one?
She's the Teen Vogue one. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're, like, Teen Vogue down to the ground.
I love Teen Vogue.
I know. It's great.
Ugh.
They're writing some really great stuff now. Yeah, so she's someone I definitely look up to. And then there's, like, a generation above me of, like, female directors, like Reed Morano, who did Handmaid's Tale, and Jill Soloway, and
Transparent,
and now I Love Dick, which is such a good show if you
haven't
seen it
yet.
I've only seen two episodes, but I was like, holy shit.
Yeah.
It's really different and new. And Melina Matsoukas, who directed Insecure and Lemonade. And
I feel like we can't jot these down quick enough, so maybe you can send us a list.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll have to hit some of these people up.
Did you see Wonder Woman, the movie?
Yes.
And did you love it?
I've seen it twice, and I loved it.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so, like, having seen this, you know, huge, huge, bonkers movie that was directed by a woman, are you, like, so
and
excited?
Starring a pregnant woman.
I can't believe she was pregnant.
That's crazy.
Fucking nuts, by the way.
It is. It's really bonkers.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. And the way it was received is incredible. That scene when they're, like, riding down on the beach and it's just all of these women on horses with arrows and then, like, going into war and, like, beating up all these dudes.
I needed that. I needed to be back there. I was like halfway through the movie. I was know. Like, are we going to go back? And like, I want to go back to that wonderful place.
Me too. And I hope if they make another one, it takes place definitely more on that island.
Yeah, I need to be on that island.
But it truly was amazing to see a movie with a character like that directed by a woman. And it felt so good to see someone to see a woman fight on screen like that and to see the men just trust her and like be like, oh yeah, she's the person we need. It was corny at times. The act two, like there were moments where it was just like guys being amazed at how beautiful and strong she was. And I got over that. I was like, okay, now let's see her fight more. So like there's definitely moments that it's not a perfect movie. It's not a perfectly feminist movie, but who cares? Yeah. It's such an important step forward and like it does so many things well. And just seeing her makes me feel powerful.
Yeah.
That's seeing her makes me be like, I want to go beat up a guy. And I think that's important.
No, it
because guys get to see that all the time. Right. Like, guys get to feel better about themselves because they constantly see people they can relate to in superheroes, especially if you're a white man.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I want to see a lot more movies like that so that they stop being so important to the industry. Mm-hmm. So it stops being like, oh, now it's we know news. That women can, sell a movie.
Yeah.
So I think that will be like a really great success going forward when this is normal.
Yeah. Love that. We should take a little break and come back with Ken Dolls.
How to be less old.
When it comes to bra shopping, it's all about finding the right fit for you. And there's only one lingerie brand that offers bra sizes AA through G and half cup sizes. And that's Third Love. Third Love uses thousands of real women's measurements and super smoothing memory foam to create bras that fit better and feel great.
I'm wearing mine now. There's a perfect bra for everyone, and you can find yours in just seconds by answering just a few simple questions from the Third Love's Fit Finder. Now you can try one of their best-selling bras for free. For 30 days, you pay $2.99 for shipping, and one of Third Love's signature 24/7 bras is on its way to you.
And you know, you can cut off the tag and see how it really feels and get that easily perfect fitting bra into your life. You can wash it, you can wear it, you might even forget that it's on. If your Third Love bra isn't your new favorite, well, gosh darn, you can always return it or exchange it for free.
So just go to thirdlove.com/HTBLO now and find your perfect fitting bra and try it for 30 days. That's thirdlove.com/HTBLO to find your new favorite bra for free. thirdlove.com/HTBLO.
How to be less old!
And we're back.
We are back with Allie.
Yay.
Oh my gosh.
Vingiano.
Vingiano. Yes. Beautiful. So these new Ken dolls, speaking of powerful women.
Yes.
Wow. They really let us have a whole array of men.
Yes.
No.
What are your thoughts and feelings
here? We got a bunch
here?
Of men now.
We got mans.
Did you guys play with Barbies growing up?
Big time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
She was big time. My mom was anti, so I only had like three that were, you know, like people had to sneak them to me in the playground.
My mom was also anti. Yeah. I wasn't allowed to play with Barbies, but then I did get one for my birthday once, but it was like past the point where I cared since I'd never had them. But there is a story where my mom walked into the bathtub and my brother was in the bath with the Barbie giving her a bath, just scrubbing her.
Yeah, he was.
Yep. Okay. But yeah, I never played with Barbies. I always was like American Girl doll, Magic Attic dolls. Yeah.
Never heard of Magic Attic.
Me either.
I think it's like no one's heard of them. So I'm like, I think it was just like a budget American Girl doll.
Okay. Magic Attic.
I wish I had known because I wanted an American Girl doll and I think they had just come out or something.
Yeah. My sister June had
a
Molly doll and she still has it. And Molly's still looking great. And it was like her prized possession. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
they were expensive. My mom was like, no, you're not getting one of those.
Yeah. Well, they lasted.
Yeah.
I will say that much. I mean, Molly is in pristine condition. She looks great. She has her outfit still.
She's probably worth a lot of money.
She probably is.
She called her sister and tell her to cash in.
No, I like seeing Molly. It makes me happy to see her. Yeah.
I wanted Samantha.
Yeah.
That was my dream of all dreams.
She was great. I do think it's funny that they have, now that they have more Ken dolls, like different variety of men than they do like Barbie body types for women.
Well, now, is that true? Because there was a refresh on the Barbies.
That's
as
true.
Well.
There is now, I think, like a more normal looking Barbie. And by normal, I mean sizes on a woman that wouldn't, that are possible.
Yeah, like I have a picture here of the multicultural crew, and it does look like we're doing better. I mean,
for Barbie?
They're
still skinny minis, but
they're very skinny, but I didn't know that there was a Barbie with an afro.
Right, exactly.
That's
and
very
then we
cool.
have like a little Latin looking Barbie and
they're
you know,
all very thin.
Blue hair Barbie.
Yeah, there are no fat Barbies, that much we can see.
But they do look like the different personality Barbie.
Yes. It looks like you have options.
And now they can each date a man who looks just like them.
Right, exactly.
All the Kens are so hipster. Like they all came
from Silver Lake.
Yeah. Yeah. They all came from Silver Lake. They all look like hot dudes, except some of them are too annoying, like the one with the man bun.
The man bun's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's not a good man bun either.
It's not a good man bun.
It's more of a top knot.
Yeah. It looks like he is just about to interrupt someone. He's like, actually, like that's the face he's making.
He's about to mansplain.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And also the guy with the glasses and the plaid, the yellow and black plaid shirt. Like he looks like he has read a lot and like ready to talk about it.
And it's going to be tough.
And it's going to be hard to get through.
Well, see, I kind of pinned him as like a Silicon Valley dude.
Like sort of nervous to talk to girls.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I can see that too.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, guys. Ken is 50 years old. So the original Ken.
Oh.
And what we have with us now, we have three different body types of Kens. We have broad, AKA dad bod, mm-hmm. slim, and original.
Original
made me laugh so hard. Like, my body type is original. We have 7 different skin tones and 9 different hairdos, including obviously the man bun. So 10 are available at this moment and 5 are coming to us.
Thank God.
So it's
Thank
a lot God. Of
Christmas.
Kens.
Yeah.
A lot of Kens. And should we read this little like blurb that was put out by a senior VP of Mattel?
Okay, it says, evolving Ken was a natural evolution for the brand and allows girls to further personalize the roles they want him to play in Barbie's world.
Okay, Lisa.
Wow.
McKnight.
So it's still Barbie's world. So they're still not marketing these to men who want to play with Ken dolls. They're marketing these to women.
I believe that's
correct.
Right.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
How do we feel about that?
I think it's cool because then you can grow up with a Barbie with a bunch of different boyfriends. You can be like, yeah, she's dating him, and then she's dating him, and like, this is her
she
ex.
She doesn't have to choose.
She doesn't have to choose. No. Yeah. Polyamorous Barbie.
I can promise you there's your gay best friend in here as well from the
totally.
Lineup that we're looking
Ooh,
at.
Which one is he? Okay.
I mean, it's the black gentleman with the flat top or whatever.
Yeah. I kind of like my, I think my gay Ken is the one with the sunglasses.
Sunglasses.
The Ray-Ban
for sure.
sunglasses.
He's definitely like been in Palm Springs for
definitely.
Like a
he
of
could
years.
Also be the gay best friend.
You are having smoothies with him, no doubt.
For to TBH, they could all be the gay best friend.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and also that's fine. It could just be Barbie. You have a girl who plays with Barbie with a lot of gay best friends.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's trans options here, so you really have
the
everything.
Flannel.
Yes. Yeah, there are.
Yeah, he's giving me Rachel Maddow realness for sure.
Does this make you like if you had a kid? Well, you do have a kid.
I do.
And you
yeah.
grew up without Barbies. Does this make you feel more comfortable giving your kid a Barbie doll? Or are you still like not into it?
Good question.
You know what? It's funny. I haven't. You know, I'm like still concerned with keeping her alive
right.
as a general
that's
step.
True.
So I haven't quite gotten there. But
how old is she?
She's 3 months.
Oh,
yeah. But you know, I it'll be interesting to see how I feel about certain things like that. Like I don't know. On a certain level, it's like I don't want to just say no out of my own principles.
Right.
Because I'd like her to form her own thoughts and feelings surrounding these things. But on the flip side, like, if I feel like it's doing something harmful that, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard. We were talking about it in the intro. Sometimes you don't know. Like, I was asking Emily, how did you feel about the Barbie and the looks of the Barbie, because I know I definitely had feelings about it. And some of this stuff at such a young age, you really don't know the effect it has on your psyche. Like you can, you just don't because it's like, it's just, you can't really know.
You don't know. But I think it does really affect you as a kid, like the toys that you're exposed to, the things you're reading, where women do a certain thing, boys do something else. Boys' toys are boys' toys are always more active. Like, they can play with trains. They can build Legos. They do something with their hands. And women's toys are always so passive. And by women, I mean small children, little girls. Like, it's always, like, dolls, or it's always it's much more passive and not as, like, you know, oriented on thinking and building.
Well, and it's funny because there have been, and I hate to say this, I hope nobody's listening, but there have been, like, gifts that have come into the house that I'll donate them because I'm like, this is no. Like, just shirts that have, like, cutesy sayings on it, like, I'm a babe, or, you know, like, just,
and I'm sexualizing.
Like, who's buying this stuff? And they're not in my house. Like, someone gave her a wand, and I was like, first of all, she's 3 months old. Like, she doesn't need a magic wand, but also, no. It's gone. You know what I mean? So
I'm sorry.
I think there, I am, so I'll take it back. I am already doing some of those things.
Sure. Yes, you will.
You know, if she wants to play with a Barbie, I don't think I'm going to draw the line there.
Because now, especially because there are so many, like, diverse Barbies in terms of, also, I think they did make a Barbie that's a different size.
Yeah, this girl right here is a little thicker. She is. That's a thicker Barbie, and there's, you know,
and they have flat feet now, right? Some of them? They're not all wearing heels.
I can't tell from here, but
some of them.
Maybe.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's, like, going to destroy her.
Yeah, more harmful was, like, the girly mags growing up.
Oh,
I think,
totally.
For sure.
Like Teen Beat?
Like, or 17 or, you know, like, YM.
Oh, yeah, I don't, you know, it's so rare, like, if I'm getting a manicure or hair or whatever. Like, yesterday, I was, you know, I'll look at a magazine, but it is, like, really important. So they do nothing but harm.
They truly
except
do
for Teen
not.
Vogue.
Teen Vogue except is great. Shout out to Teen Vogue.
Seriously, a good magazine.
But I definitely remember reading, like, Cosmo in high school, just being like, oh my God, no one's ever going to love me. I have to do all these sex things. Like,
well, and, like, it taught you to be embarrassed about everything.
Oh, completely.
Yes. Everything. Everything's wrong. Everything's a flaw. Everything could be fixed. You know,
that's
all of that.
Yeah.
And none of it's real anyway. So it's really,
it doesn't do.
I know. Man, bodies.
It has really been a pleasure having you on.
Oh my
this
gosh.
Is so
thank
quick.
You.
I know.
Yes.
Where do we find you?
I'm AllieVingiano.com, or my Twitter is at AllieVingiano. My Instagram is the real Allie Vingiano.
That's right. No fakes.
No fakes.
Yes, I know. I went to the fake one first, and then I did find the real.
The real one I actually made when I was, like, I don't know, 20.
Okay.
And I didn't really use Instagram. And then now I'm, like, a more public person, and it's like, oh, God, everyone thinks I'm, like, an asshole, like Donald Trump, like a real
the
Donald
real.
Trump.
But why can't you use the one you made?
I do. Oh, you mean Allie Vingiano?
Yeah.
I do. I need to figure out how to access it, because then I can switch
it. You got some new. We've been there, done that. I'd
really?
Love to give you a tutorial. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, great.
I mean, I think we can help you.
We might be able to. We might.
You heard it here first. I'm getting at Allie Vingiano on Instagram.
But it's yours, it sounds like.
Yeah, I need to figure out how to. I probably can access it. I just need to figure out what it is, like the password and the all that sort of stuff.
We might not be able to help you.
That's what I
think there's hope.
That.
I think there's hope.
I think there's always hope.
So if I now it's like, what are we talking about? But if I get it, can I just make mine? I can just change my Instagram name.
You can
change. Oh my gosh!
Look, here's
who
the
knew?
Thing. We're gonna. It's a hard out, and we're gonna have to bounce. But I will. I'm happy to power you through this.
Thank you.
In a phone call or a FaceTime.
Wow, this was so valuable. Yeah. Thank you
I'm
so
glad
much.
We could potentially teach you something, and we're very excited about it.
We're so impressed by you. We're very excited for all the work you're doing. Please keep us updated.
Thank you so much.
And you're doing great.
Amazing. Thank you. It was so nice to be here and so good to meet both of you.
Oh, and we want to be in a BuzzFeed video. So
oh, my God, great.
No big deal.
Yeah.
If you need us.
I can definitely make it happen.
Great. We're available.
I'm actually leaving there next month, but I'm going to pass you on to other people.
Thank you so much. Where are you heading to?
I'm freelancing.
Okay, cool.
So I'm pitching a bunch of shows and web series and things like that and doing my own thing.
And are you and Jasmine true friends?
Yeah, I love Jasmine. I love Jasmine.
She's
it's sad to
amazing.
Leave because the people there are so great.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, damn, I'm missing out on so many amazing people and like, but
the time is
I'll
now.
Work with them again. The
and
time
you
is
can
now.
Always go back.
I got to do it. I can always go back. I love them. Great terms.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. How to be less old.
Wonderful.
I loved her. Great girl.
Seriously. That, like, warms me. Mm-hmm. It warms me to my core.
Yeah. She's doing great things. I think she's so strong. Like,
so
her,
smart.
Her work is really good.
Yeah.
The videos are really excellent in every way. The way they're – and the fact – I didn't know she, like, directed them all as well. Like, that's incredible. She's really, really talented. Yeah, guys, go check her out. Go and, you know, we'll put the links up. But, I mean, the videos to just look up, Unhealthy Eating, When I Saw Him Again, the one about the abortion I will put up because I don't have that at the ready. But that was
Although even incredible. That one, the what you're actually like in your car, I thought was...
That was cute.
It was very cute.
Yeah. Yeah, but just, you know, look her up and check out her stuff because she's really, 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 really good. And I would urge you to follow us.
Please.
On the Insta, on the Twit, on the Face, at HTBLO.
That's correct. I'm Emily Foster, and I'm at Frida Foster.
I'm Deanna Chang, at Deanna M. Chang.
And we wanted to give a little shout-out to a listener.
In the Apple Podcasts reviews, by Joan Mergerch, wrote, "So fun! Deanna and Emily are so fun to listen to. It's like having two new best friends. At 33 years old, which I guess makes me an old millennial, I'm not at all a clueless old when it comes to tech lingo trends, but I don't really identify with most of the youth's general outlook on most things. I love being in the middle and hearing the back and forth between Emily and Deanna. Sometimes they school the youths, too."
God bless. Thank you so much, Joanne Mergerch, for listening. And thanks to all of you.
Yeah, go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. Hey.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Tom Ryman.
And I'm Abe Epperson.
And we're hosting a new show called Cracked Movie Club.
Yep, each month we're analyzing four films from a single director. And we're starting off with Steven Spielberg.
We're basically aiming to do with this podcast is to make you, the listener, an expert in each film we talk about. So each month, like Abe said, we're going to be picking a new director, discussing one of their films each episode.
Yeah, it's like a deep dive so you can show off to your friends.
Our first two episodes premiere on Thursday, July 13th, where we're going to be talking about Raiders of the Lost Ark and Jurassic Park.
So subscribe now to hear those episodes the day they come out.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Chris Bannon, and Colin Anderson. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.